Now please take your Bibles with me, if you will, and turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We're continuing on in our series this morning of called Q&A with Jesus. We're examining the various questions in the Gospels that people pose to Jesus, and it covers the full gamut of topics, everything from demons to divorce. And we've already covered those two topics. We come to another one this morning that will touch us very deeply and significantly, I believe, where most of us live. Luke chapter 10, we'll be looking at verses 38 to 42. Some time ago, a newspaper in Tacoma, Washington, United States, carried the story of Tattoo, the basset hound. The Tattoo that thought he was going out for his evening walk with his master. But it didn't exactly happen that way, because when they got to the car, the owner accidentally shut his leash in the car door and took off with Tattoo still outside the vehicle. Instead of a walk, he began his evening run. A motorcycle officer named Terry Filbert noticed a passing vehicle with something that appeared to be dragging behind it. As he passed the vehicle, he saw the object was a basset hound on a leash. Filbert said he was picking them up and putting them down as fast as he could. He chased the car to a stop, and Tattoo was rescued, but not before the dog had reached a speed of 20 to 25 miles per hour, and he had rolled over several times. The dog was fine, but for quite a while he didn't want to go out for his evening walk. You know, many of us today are just like Tattoo, the basset hound. Our days are marked by picking them up and putting them down as fast as we can. It seems like the leash of busyness pulls us faster and faster, and if we fear that we stop running, we'll be either dragged away dead or be left unemployed. 7 years ago, actually 7.5 years ago now, I left our ministry in north of Toronto in Canada in an executive culture where the unstated value of an individual was how many hours one worked. I would hear men and women complaining. Actually, they were bragging in disguise. They were complaining about how many hours they were putting in and how they just didn't have time for what they wanted to do. Now, if you were one of those who had a balanced life and enjoyed free time for yourself or your family, you wouldn't dare admit it in that kind of conversation, because the clear impression given was that if you had more time than they did from work, then you must be lazy or incompetent or unambitious, or that somehow you had plateaued in your ability to get ahead. One of the things I really looked forward to about coming to Egypt was coming to a slower pace of living. Ha! Wrong on all accounts. You know as well as I do that life can be just as fast and furious over here as it ever was back home. Many of you, as I do, have jobs over here that demand everything we have to give, and then they ask us for some more. Robert Banks, author of All the Business of Life, notes that while our society is rich in things, we are extremely poor in time. In fact, never before in human history has society been so things rich and so time poor. The story we're going to look at today comes from a slower culture and a different millennium. But the dialogue that Jesus had with these two sisters offers us some very refreshing news. Well, actually, it can be a little disturbing as well. Go with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 10, and let's read verses 38 to 42, and we're going to examine in this text Martha's madness, Mary's meditation, and then Jesus' judgment on the difference between the two of them. Beginning at verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparation that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Lord Jesus, as we look at this ancient story and seek to apply it to our modern lives, we pray that you will help us to do so with eternal results. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't think we would be wrong this morning if we described life in the fast lane as Martha's madness. In this story, Martha appears to be the classic type A personality, the highly motivated executive. She's working overtime to make sure that the task at hand is done flawlessly. Mary, on the other hand, appears to be the lazy, unmotivated slug, unconcerned about her sister's frenzy. But this is not the case. Nowhere do we read that Mary was lazy or incompetent or unconcerned about all that had to be done. Likewise, nowhere do we read that Jesus had required or even asked for the flurry of activity. That was Martha's choice. This was Martha's priority. This was Martha's madness. Martha wanted everything in order and everybody in order. Martha wanted her sister marching in step with her plan, with her priorities, with her strategy, and with her schedule. Now, none of that is wrong in and of itself. These are elements of good management. The problem was that Martha had been so consumed with her to-do list that she failed to see what was more important. The text tells us that she was distracted by all the preparations. Distracted. Eyes in the wrong place, focusing on the wrong thing. Walking down the wrong road, but going very fast. One of the primary reasons why we people avoid solitude, quietness, and alone time with Jesus is because it doesn't appear that we are accomplishing anything. It seems like it's a waste of time. It doesn't look good on a time report. I mean, how many of you, when somebody says, "So how did you spend your day?" you're anxious to say, "Yeah, I just did nothing all day. I sat in the presence of Jesus." I mean, I'm the pastor. And if I gave that report sometimes, I feel like I would be, "Well, so when are you going to get on with your job?" We have this idea that to be quiet, to be alone, to be still, to spend time with Jesus is somehow a waste of time. Let's get on with the real task of life. As a result, we end up spinning our wheels in busyness and things that we think are important, and like Martha, often leave the most important things undone. Has it ever occurred to you, friends, that God created us as human beings, not as human doings? And could it be that who we are becoming is far more valuable than what we are accomplishing? Definitely. But we forget that. In the hustle-bustle of life, we often lose sight of that reality, and we get caught in the high-speed chase of life. And unfortunately, not only at high speed do we miss the journey, the joy of the journey, but if you live life in the fast lane, you know what? You get to the toll booth quicker. As much as we complain about all this, there's part of us which seems to be drawn irresistibly to the hurried life. It makes us feel important. It keeps the adrenaline pumping. It means I don't have to look too closely at my heart or at my life. It keeps us from the feelings of loneliness. And as long as we have meetings to go to and social functions to attend and sports events to fill the blanks, we can demonstrate to the world and to ourselves that we really are important people. Kierkegaard wrote, "The press of busyness is like a charm. Its power swells. It reaches out, seeking always to lay hold of ever younger victims, so that childhood or youth are scarcely allowed the quiet and the retirement in which the eternal may unfold a divine growth." Have you ever asked yourself, "Why am I going so fast?" Surely you've paused long enough to ask that question once in a while. Someone wisely observed that man is the only animal that increases his speed when he has lost his way. Somebody else said that busyness is the narcotic we take to deaden the pain of an empty life. Powerful quotes. In sharp contrast, we see Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, listening intently to every word he was uttering, meditating on the significance for her soul. She had locked in on him, and she couldn't be dragged away. She couldn't be pulled away. She couldn't be distracted. She was zeroed in on him. She fixed her gaze, and she was drinking deeply at the fountain of eternity. My family teases me that this is how I get when I watch TV. They say, "Dave, you get so locked in when you watch the news or a sports event or a good movie, they can be calling my name behind me and I can't even hear them.
And I don't even notice it until they wave their hand in front of my face or they start laughing. Then I realize what's going on.
To an outsider, to an outside observer, Mary appeared like she was on another planet. She's just sitting there. She's staring. She's listening. She's thinking. And she's meditating. But she wasn't wasting time watching TV. She was probably recalling Jesus' invitation earlier in Matthew 11:28 recorded, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened." Perhaps we can put in there, "and too busy." "Come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest, not just for your body, you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." But that was too much for Martha. There was work to do, and in her books, that held the priority. When everything was stroked off the list, then and only then could she afford the luxury of listening to Jesus. And being so sure that her approach was the logical, the proper management way, the correct one, and even the spiritual one, being so sure of it, she actually approaches Jesus and seeks his validation of her approach. She said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." In other words, "Don't you care that I'm so busy? Don't you care that I'm on the spinning wheel of life going so fast? Don't you care that I can hardly keep up with all the demands? Please tell Mary to get off her backside and do something significant." Now brace yourself. Because Jesus was never known to be politically correct. His words, although politely spoken, did not smooth over a very tough issue. He was asked to judge between two systems of living, and he did not hesitate to give his judgment. Clearly, simply, straight, and to the point. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." You see, Martha's activity was nice, but it was not needed. It was creating worry and upsetting her. Now, if it is possible to do both, then fine, do both. But if life forces us to choose between details and devotion, between working and waiting, between laboring and listening, then according to Jesus, there is no contest. In Isaiah 30:15, we read, "This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. Comma, but you would have none of it." Why won't we have any of it? We say we want it. We work so hard to get that break, and then we work so hard to rest, we're tired from it. We work so hard to get everything in order, and no matter what we do, no matter how much we pay for the vacation, no matter where we go, and how classy we take the vacation, no matter what happens, we still come away, and something's gnawing inside of us, something's dying inside of us, something is not restful, something is still turbulent. I believe that hurry is one of the primary enemies of our soul. As Carl Jung wrote, "Hurry is not of the devil. Hurry is the devil." Hurry is not just a disordered schedule. Hurry is a disordered heart. Being busy is an outer condition. Being hurried is a sickness of the soul. A few years ago, there was a fascinating experiment done on some mice. They always use mice for these experiments. Poor mice. A researcher found that when amphetamines were given to a mouse in solitude, it takes a high dose of amphetamines to kill the mouse. But give it to a group of mice, and they start hopping around and hyping each other up so much that a fraction of the dosage will be lethal. So great is the effect of the crowd effect on mice. In fact, a mouse that had not been given any amphetamines at all was placed in the group with that were on the drug. And a mouse like that will get so hyper that in 10 minutes or so the non-injected mouse will also be dead. In the wild and busy activity of the group, the mice go nuts. They lose it. And they race themselves to a quick death. But mice aren't the only ones foolish enough to hang around with others frantically pursuing activity, putting our own lives in jeopardy in the process. We humans do it all the time. Often those people in ministry or in other people-helping professions are the most at risk. We're told in Mark chapter 6, verses 31 and 32 about the intense ministry that Jesus and his disciples were engaged in. Constant people pressure. Couldn't get away from it. It says there then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, Jesus said to his disciples, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." I love that verse. It's one that more of us need to read more often. And then it says, so they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. They got away. They headed out. They closed the door. They shut down the computer. They closed the books. And they walked away. And they went and had some quiet time. Jesus refused to allow busyness, even for fantastic, eternally significant ministry reasons, he refused to allow busyness to rob him of his need for solitude, for prayer, and for waiting upon God. Now, Jesus was often busy, but he was never hurried. Jesus never went about the busyness of his ministry in a way that severed the life-giving and life-sustaining connection between him and his Father. He never did it in a way that interfered with his ability to give love when it was called for or required. How? Because he regularly observed the rhythm of withdrawal from his activity. He regularly practiced solitude and prayer. He ruthlessly eliminated hurry from his life. Is there anyone here this morning, and I know many of you are busy to your eyeball. Some of you hardly could make it to church today. But is there anybody here who has a job description that would compare with what Jesus came to do? I don't think so. Now, some people like to think that their job is saving the world, so they act like it, but there was only one Messiah, and he did his job very well. And amazingly, even though he came to save the world, to set up salvation for all of humanity, even though he had a job description that none of us could fulfill if we had 20 lives, he did it all in 3 years. Not because he pressed the pedal to the metal, not because he worked 18-hour days, but precisely because he prioritized times for quietness, for reflection, and for soul maintenance. Dear friend, it is out of our times of solitude, it's out of our times of prayer and meditating on Jesus' words that our true strength comes. Those who, like Mary, prioritize sitting at Jesus' feet are able to accomplish far more than those who, like Martha, chase their tail in hectic busyness. There was a lumberjack who was chopping trees in the forest. Thud. 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 It wasn't cutting very well. The guys he was working with were dropping trees faster than he was. He was getting behind on his quota. The boss was getting on his back. He felt the pressure. He was swinging harder. Thud. 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 That tree's not coming down. Somebody said, "Hey, why don't you stop and sharpen your axe?" He says, "Stop and sharpen my axe. I'm already behind in my schedule. I don't have time to sharpen my axe. I got more trees to cut." Thud, 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 thud. Dear friends, those who stop and take time to sharpen their axe cut more trees. And the prophet Isaiah reminded us that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Are you a modern Martha this morning? Has life gotten so full of hurry that you are distracted from that which really matters? Are you worried and upset about many things? Then hear the wonderful invitation to the best getaway resort in the entire universe. This is what the Sovereign Lord says, the Holy One of Israel. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. Lord Jesus, thank you for your invitation. Thank you that all the fees to this resort are paid. Thank you that we can come anytime and stay as long as we want. Now, Lord, please help us to do what it takes to follow up on your invitation, to sit at your feet, to drink deeply, and to find the refreshment that every one of us are longing for, indeed dying for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.